This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, little Phil Bailey there with Phil Collins on the bumper music as we take you into the 4 o'clock hour. We have Kenny Wallace coming up, NASCAR legend. He's just back from a European vacation, and it just looked like we all wanted to be on that vacation with him because he was having a very giddy time. We have some audio from the videos that he posted, but I just wanted to hear, you know, Kenny Wallace reflecting on a European trip just in and of itself is interesting to me, right? Sean Spicer in the next hour. He's the host of the Sean Spicer Show. Jason Rantz from Seattle will talk to us about some parental education issues in his state out in the Pacific Northwest. Right now, though, we got a storm coming to St. Louis, and Dave Murray is here with us to give us the very latest. How are you, Dave, this afternoon?
Hello there.
Dave!
What are we going to get? Dave. What's going to hit us, Dave?
Okay, give us first of all, let's jump back to January, okay? It is not a repeat of January. Let's get that right
Good.
Out on the
yeah,
table,
there we go.
Okay? This is a fast-moving storm. It's a little warmer storm. That's good. But the prime time is going to be developing first thing Wednesday morning. From about 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., this thing will start to develop, mainly as snow to begin with. I think the morning rush is going to be okay. Then as we get through the late morning, through the afternoon, into the early evening, it will be this mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain. A little bit of everything with a focus on sleet. The way I'm thinking right now, haven't really moved off that post here in the last 36 hours or so. But either way, it's going to be a mess. And the worst part is going to be going through Wednesday afternoon into Wednesday evening. The further south you go, let's think of a line from Cuba to Farmington to Mount Vernon. It's freezing rain and plain old rain. I'm not anticipating a big icing situation to our south. The further north, northwest you go, north of a line from Columbia to Pittsfield to Springfield, it's mainly all snow, 3 to 5 inches. So that puts us right in the middle of all of this. I don't see big accumulating numbers. Probably by the time this is all done, about 1 to 2 inches of snow and sleet. And again, that will be kind of laying down as we go through the afternoon and into the evening on Wednesday. The other key is that ground temperatures are warm. Warmer anyway. Also, there's some warm air coming into this system. So even though I'm going 32 for the high tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if we get up to 34, 35 degrees. That's going to help the situation even more as far as travel is concerned. It's going to be messy. I don't think it's an end-all type situation, but extra care on bridges, overpasses, entrance ramps, things like that. If you're concerned about it around your house, your sidewalks, driveways, things like that, well, I would probably throw a little salt down if you have it before you go to bed tonight, just so you're ready to do it. A lot of cold air coming in behind this storm. We're going down to 19 tomorrow night. But by the time the cold air gets here, the moisture is long gone. Thursday is a cold day. And then on Saturday, we've got a rain situation setting up. May end as a mix of rain and snow Saturday night. And then much colder air for a good portion of next week. So it's a winter storm. It's a mix of a winter storm. It's not a giant storm. Hold our breath. We can handle this. I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to handle this.
I'm looking at next week. You're not kidding, man. There's like highs in the 20s and then maybe even dipping down to single digits. But it is February still. So, well, listen.
That's very true.
I think we're going to be okay with this storm. But listen, a serious question because I've been tracking this in the LA Times. You got a big storm that's hitting Southern California, right?
Yes. It's not here yet. but it's kind of a two-fold system. It's going to bring some light rain tomorrow and into Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and heavier rain come Thursday afternoon, Thursday night. But we need it, and it's not great for the burn scar areas up around Los Angeles, but we need the moisture. That's just all there is to it.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you for the update this afternoon. Obviously, a lot of people focused. I don't think the panic has set in, which is good.
Yeah,
Sue, you're going to be okay.
Okay.
We're going to get through it.
Yeah,
we're going to get through it.
If they could just avoid ice and rush hour, Dave, that's really
that's
all
right.
I ask. Yes.
I'm going to try to do that for you.
I just want to see how the milk is at Walmart. That's what I want to see.
If there's any left.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can afford it. Thank you, Dave Murray.
You got it.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Everyone in the studio loves it. Like, I pressed the wrong button, but it kind of sounded okay.
It sounded like you meant to.
I'm going
to
start doing that right before Sue's News every day. Ethan walks in. Everybody knew that I did it in the studio. The audience didn't know, but I had to out myself there, yeah.
Yeah, that was entertaining. It's National Guitar Day. Fred, did you ever take a lesson?
No, my dad could play, but I never learned.
Really?
Never had
your dad play guitar?
That's interesting.
He was pretty musical.
What did he, was he in a band locally? Was he a
drummer?
He
played accordion, he played organ,
he
piano.
Played accordion, that is
guitar.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I grew up with the accordion all around me.
Okay, I kind of love that. Ethan, you ever take a guitar lesson?
Wait, hang on, his mic's on it, there we go.
Am I there now?
There you go.
Ah, there I am. No, we had to do a little bit during like music class with them in middle school. So, I mean, I know a few different chords and stuff in the notes, but outside of that.
Mark?
No, I never took it. Of course not. Why would I lesson?
Something
but I did have a guitar. I owned a Fender Mustang circa 19. This was in 1978, 79. And again, when that Norman's Rare Guitars documentary came on, they showed a Fender Mustang, not unlike mine, that was worth about $7,000. I looked it up.
What happened to yours?
Well, I sold it. I bought it for maybe $200, and I sold it for like $2.25. I sold it for more money than I bought it for.
All right. Well, you got that $25.
It was a cool-looking guitar. But again, the whole learning how to play things sort of eluded me. I didn't realize you had to learn how to play and practice
well,
and all that
yeah,
stuff.
That's not up your alley.
No.
13 years ago today in 2012, Whitney Houston passed away in her hotel. That was 13 years ago. It was in her hotel bathtub the night before the Grammys. Coroner's report ruled her death as an accidental drowning, but also listed cocaine use as a contributing factor and heart disease. She was only 48.
Man. How about, can I do something day in history-wise?
Yes, that's what, you're next.
35 years ago tonight, it was February 11th, 1990, that James Buster Douglas, knocked out Mike Tyson. It was in the 10th round. It was in Tokyo. This was a big, big deal.
Backs off Mike again with the left. Wild with the right hand is Buster. Together is Buster landing the... He's in big trouble. Six, he may not be able to recover. It's up to seven and eight. He's not going to make it.
Oh my God. That is a great boxing call, by the way. That's
unbelievable.
Wow. He was a 42-1 outsider, and he shocked the world. He somehow managed to knock out Mike Tyson without chewing his ear up on this evening back in 1990. I remember that fight. I can't believe it was
that
really? Long ago. Oh, yeah. That was a huge deal.
Did you
I mean, all those
one,
Tyson fights, this one was great because it didn't just last 7 seconds or something
right.
like that.
Wham, bam, that's it. The Super Bowl, I was looking at stuff, just fallout from the Super Bowl. Philadelphia, of course, went crazy on Sunday night to no one's surprise. They toppled streetlights. They broke windows. They set fires. What in the world?
I don't know.
How is that celebratory? I just don't get it. Okay. And, of course, since it's Philly, they fought each other.
There's something about it being in celebratory fashion, though, that doesn't make it, like, acceptable, but it makes it, like, okay. You know?
No, there's no, acceptable about it.
Unless they're shooting like in Kansas City.
Oh, God. Yeah,
right. Well, right. I'd rather have it be over that than over race riots or something like that is what I'm saying.
I know, but like, these people are so
it doesn't change
dumb.
That. It's not stupid.
Hey, here's a question, though, because the operating plan, I was a little concerned this was going to affect me tomorrow because I'm going to Jeff City. The operating plan was to have a parade in Kansas City tomorrow. Is that when the Eagles are having a parade? You know?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look that up.
I would guess.
They're still picking up streetlights.
They did hold a press conference, I think, today talking about the plans for it. And I don't know if that's a normal thing for like the mayor's office or who city government to have to
do
that.
Yeah, they do.
Is that
yes,
okay?
It is.
I imagine that this one may have been a little bit more extensive though, with just how crazy these Philly fans are. Though
Friday, they're doing it Friday.
Friday, that's it. Yep, need more time for cleanup.
Broad Street in Patterson, if you know Philadelphia, by the sports complex in South Philly. There you go. It's going to go down City Hall and around Love Park. So that'll be a big parade. There's no doubt.
Well, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts had to go to Disney World, so you got to give him a minute. Patrick Mahomes tweeted an apology for the Chiefs' performance on Sunday. He said, quote, appreciate all the love and support from Chiefs Kingdom. I let y'all down today.
I'd be looking at a new quarterback and head coach because those two guys have got to have some accountability, right?
It's just ridiculous. But he did give thanks to God for every opportunity he has given me. We will be back, said Mahomes. 126 million people watched the Super Bowl across all platforms. Now, that's an all-time record. The previous record was set last year at 123.7 million viewers. But I'm sure, I'm sure not many left after halftime last year, as opposed to this year.
Yeah, because we had the figure yesterday. I had something from the interwebs that said like 1.2 million left after the Super Bowl halftime show, which I'm going to say that was higher, not only because of Kendrick Lamar, but because the game wasn't very good.
Well, the game was terrible.
Right.
I wonder if that was specifically, I think that may have been specifically towards just at the start of the halftime show.
It might have been.
Maybe not like the poor play continued
on. Because, I didn't watch the fourth quarter. When I saw the score the next day, I'm like, oh, wait, they scored 22 points.
Right.
How'd they
do
that?
Your boy Xavier Worthy.
I know.
Did you see how so he ended up having, I believe it was the fifth most receiving yards in Super Bowl history. Most of that happened in the fourth quarter.
So he's incredible, but he had a slow start to the season, first year with the Chiefs. I have to tell you this, though, and I won't say the amounts because I don't know that he's comfortable with that, but I'll tell you, well, who cares, really? I'm just going to say, Dave Klein, producer emeritus, listen to this, Ethan. Have I told you this?
Uh-uh.
This is a $15 bet on Underdog. You ready?
Okay.
$15. Jahan Dotson higher than 2.5 receiving yards. I think it said that. Maybe 25 because my eyes. Hollywood Brown lower than 41.5. Travis Kelce lower than 61. Saquon lower than 115. Dallas Goedert lower than 52. He went lower on four lines, just higher on Dotson. $15, $750 payout on Underdog.
What's the promo code?
Mark R. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
is.
A heck of a
that's crazy.
A heck of a stand to go under, especially on Saquon. Yeah, the crowd didn't like it, but everyone else did.
I mean, good for him. It's also just not as fun to cheer for the unders because you're cheering for less excitement.
I know.
I find it's more enjoyable to pick the overs
for
that reason.
But you know what's even more enjoyable?
Money.
Winning.
Yep.
Yeah, that's more enjoyable.
Spotify streams for Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us jumped 430% in the hours following the Super Bowl. Streams for his overall catalog increased by 175%. If you wonder why people do the halftime show,
because they don't get paid right. They don't get paid for that.
Exactly,
you get a lot of attention.
Okay, did you know this, that the families of Super Bowl players have to buy their tickets?
Oh yeah,
and each player's family can have up to 15. I did not know that.
Well, because we reported on this last year, that suite that Tay-Tay was in, those things are hundreds of thousands. They're
hundreds of thousands.
I think the report last year we had there was a $300,000 price tag on some of them. Yeah, well, they're all inclusive.
So, well, Fred, we're out.
I learned about this watching the Receiver series on Netflix because one of the players that followed was George Kittle.
Oh, that's right.
And it did a lot of following of their families as well. And, you know, they're always in the suites, but for the Super Bowl, they're not.
Yeah, because it costs that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a term I've not heard before, but musical person Bryan Adams, there are several Bryan Adams, was supposed to play a show in Perth, Australia on Sunday night, but it had to be canceled due to a massive fatberg. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
A fat bird.
It was blocking the city's sewer system. A fat bird is an this is so gross. Is an accumulation of non-biodegradable solids like wet wipes that mix with fat, oil, and grease to create a massive nastiness that blocks the sewer system, and they call it a fat bird.
What an awful name.
Yes. Well,
it's kind of accurate when you think about it, but yeah. We don't have that here, I guess, because of different sewer systems. They have a sewer system that allows the fat bird.
I guess so. Yeah, and it blocked up things so badly that they couldn't let anybody in because the restrooms wouldn't. So Wow. They had to actually cancel the show because of a fat bird.
You know what I want to say here? That's pretty shh, but I mean, can't.
Wait, you said this was Brian Adams?
Uh-huh.
His next Two Truths and a Lie is going to be really good.
Right? That's pretty good. That is. I mean, historic. Why'd you get canceled? Ah, fat bird.
I just had never heard that. And they say, oh, no, it's a real world. Word. Okay. Well. And finally, in Sue's new. Wait, I wanted to mention the Stradivarius. There was a 311-year-old Stradivarius violin sold at auction on Friday for $11.3 million. Experts say it's one of the finest instruments ever made. It was donated to the New England Conservatory of Music in 2009, and they'll take that money and cover scholarships there. But that is a lot of cash.
No kidding.
Then finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. This is so... Okay. The highest number counted to out loud was 1 million. It took a guy 89 days, with each day averaging over 11,200 numbers. So every day he stood up and said 11,200 numbers for 89 days to get to a million. Why, people?
Yeah, that's the question I think I would have is why? Mm-hmm. And was it worth it? Because it doesn't sound like it was worth it. There you go. Sue's News for a Tuesday in the books. Oh, my gosh. So much looking forward to Kenny Wallace and his reaction from a European tour. There's going to be nothing better. It's coming up next. So a couple of weeks ago, because he's a friend and I follow him on social media, as you should too, our friend Kenny Wallace, NASCAR legend, was in Europe and he was on the Autobahn and things like that. This is a really fun clip.
Now we are on the Autobahn and we are hauling butt. Show them here, John. We're running, 200 kilometers. I'm wide open. It won't go anymore. And this is unbelievable. This is awesome! Wide open, just digging. This is what we came to Germany for, race fans. Look at that!
That's the classic Kenny Wallace left.
Earnhardt's my man! And you do know the name Earnhardt is a German name. We're getting it!
All right, so then he was in Italy. He's in Germany, he was in Italy.
Okay, you're going to experience this with me for the first time. Leaving the train station here in Venice. Let's see what we see. Oh, my God. I mean, it's right away. Right away. Damn. Look at this. How old's all this stuff, John?
I have no idea. Looks pretty old, though.
Look at this. I mean, right away. Just like in the movies.
Sue, I would say that you'd be hard-pressed to find a Netflix show that was better than Kenny Wallace's trip to Italy and Germany. He's with us on the phone this afternoon. I was immensely entertained. How are you this afternoon? Welcome back to America.
Well, thank you. That was the trip of my lifetime. And the reason it was is because I just couldn't get over that. You know, the Roman Colosseum is 1,975 years old.
Right. Yeah.
And then you walk across the street, the Roman Forum, and, you know, that's where Julius Caesar was assassinated. And then, you know, it was overwhelming.
The history,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh you think God. About, look, we're very proudly going to celebrate 250 years of this country, but it pales in comparison to all the history over in Europe, and certainly Rome, I've been there before, is quite amazing. So you had a blast over there.
I had a good time, and of course, I wanted to share it with everybody, you know. So, I downloaded pictures every night, made a video. It's not like I was doing it every minute on the minute. It'd be like, take pictures during the day, and then, you know, yeah. we were 7 hours ahead of you all, so then it was so much fun to share on social media.
It was fun to follow, Kenny.
It was. I texted him at one point. I said, Sue and I are just completely enjoying your trip. But one thing that we noticed, and you sent me the clarification on this, and we weren't the only ones that noticed, but your lovely wife, Kim, was not on this trip with you, Kenny Wallace. We noticed that.
Right, right. So Kim, when I met Kim, Kim is this very studious girl that makes straight A's. She's afraid of the police. When I first met Kim and I'd take her, you know, on a date, there's a cop. She's always been afraid, you know, and it's just, it's in her DNA. So she thought that it was going to be terrorism, that I was going to go over there and there's a good chance I was going to be killed. And so she has never been the one to leave the country. Now she'd go up to Canada, go down to Cabo, but she has never, I mean, for 20 years, she says, I'm not going over there. And for 20 years, I finally said, okay, I'm going.
Yeah, she had no problem sending you over to get killed, though, did she? Notice that.
Yeah, well, she'll end up with a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh, that made me laugh.
I said, honey, when I die, just don't give all the money to people that don't deserve it. She'll probably spend it every Friday and Saturday night down at River City.
No doubt. All right, so let's start with Italy, because what were the highlights there? You did some, where'd you go to tour over there? Yeah, some car stuff, right?
I would say, you know, we flew to the UK, we flew to London, got on another plane and went 2.5 hours down to Rome. Now, as far as Rome, Italy goes, I would say tied would be the Vatican, St. Peter Basilica, and the Roman Colosseum and the Forum. Those things right there. But I will say this. The reason I went over there was because, you know, on Christmas, I would watch the Pope do Mass, you know. And to be in St. Peter Basilica was very overwhelming. I met some nuns, you know, on the Vatican side. I bought, like, you know, 14 little wooden crosses, brought them back to the family, you know, they can wear around their neck. But it was just, you know, just awesome. But those things right there, you know, the Sistine Chapel, I realize how small it was. It wasn't grandiose right as you leave the Vatican and then walk around the corner to St. Peter and then realize the first Pope, you know, St. Peter is buried right there where the Pope, you know, does, you know, Christmas Mass every Christmas Eve, you know, the St. Peter buried underneath there. But, you know, there's so much to say, and I just don't want to talk too much, but those were the things that were just overwhelming, awesome.
Yeah, they make an impression on you. You've been to Rome, Sue?
I have.
Yeah.
I liked Venice, Kenny, and we just heard you walking out of the train station and saying it's just like in the movies, because it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to me, what was amazing about Venice was I studied the history, so, you know, the Roman Empire, they were just gangsters. They were brutal, right? So the Roman Empire, they would just pillage and just kill people. And it was horrible, horrible history. So then they would bring back everything, you know, to Rome. But as far as Venice goes, this was a group of people that were fleeing because the Roman Empire was taking everybody's land. So this group went to Venice, and this land was very soft. They were so desperate for land. If you go through my, if you go through my Facebook, there's an incredible video there. So they went to Venice. They said, okay, this is where we want to be, but the land is too soft. So they got on their ships, went over to Croatia, found these big old long trees like telephone poles, brought them back to Venice, pile-drived thousands and thousands of these poles in the ground.
It's amazing.
And then, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they lived on. They ended up with granite on top, and they built all these buildings.
I love that you absorbed the history.
Yes.
You're able to educate us here this afternoon as well. Didn't you go to Ferrari as well? Did I see that?
I did. And John Scatone, he's my investor, a good friend of mine. He's up in Chicago, and he's got family in Sicily. So he's the one that made the trip so awesome. We got on the Italo, which is a bullet train. It was going, buddy. It was going fast. I don't know the mile per hour, but. Yeah, we went to Modena.
I was there from Barcelona or Madrid to Barcelona at high speed, and yeah, it chugs along. I like it.
Yeah, it's so much fun. So we went up, we stopped at Modena, and or they call it Modena or something like that. They pronounce everything a little differently than we do. We pronounce it the way it says it. They use the flair to it. But we went to Ferrari, which is, you know, like the number one team in Formula One, Ferrari and Mercedes-Benz. That was awesome. We were there when Lewis Hamilton was there, which is now the new, that was big, but we didn't get to see him. We missed him by one day that he got on their practice track, you know, Formula One over there is like soccer over there. It's massive. It's like football over here. So when Lewis Hamilton was testing, they were going nuts. Then we went over to Lamborghini the next day, and then that was awesome because, you know, we really mixed some racing in there, you know.
I would like you to explain the challenges. This is something that catches a lot of American tourists off guard, but sometimes you got to pay to pee over there, don't you?
Yeah, that was wild. So, you know, we leave Venice, we fly up to Frankfurt. We fly way north on purpose because we want to get on the Autobahn. So I rent this Mercedes and, you know, I mean, I'm running like 158 mile an hour. And, you know, the Autobahn is very regulated. It is not a free-for-all. But you pull over, you go to the bathroom. And they're very nice gas stations. But every gas station, you have to pay $1, €1 to go to the bathroom. Now, they are extremely nice bathrooms. But you just have to have that little $1 coin. I would say it keeps out all the druggies and all the riffraff.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to pay, but boy, it was worth it.
That's the thing.
Totally.
They are very clean. And, you know, because when I was with a tour, we had some of this, I think it was in Frankfurt, because we went through Germany as well to get to, you know, Spain. And then you get some crabby folks that are like, eh, but they are clean. It's like the Cadillac of restrooms, I think. And that's what they do. I don't know that we do that at all here. Does any city do that?
No,
we have to.
I don't.
Does New York City do it? Because it's hard to find sometimes.
It is.
Toilets, which is why they do that there.
I got off a train one time in France on a bike trip, and I went in and to the restroom at a train station, and it was a hole in the concrete.
Oh, absolutely. I've done that too. Yeah,
Kenny, I can hold it to wherever we're going.
I think I experienced that in France. It was either France or Italy.
Yes.
Yeah, where we go into like, it's like a porta potty, and it's just porta potty rather. It's just a hole in the ground. That's it.
I'd rather pay a euro any day.
I'm with you on
that. Let me just say this. The last time I paid to go to the bathroom was when I was a kid up at White Castle at Lindbergh and 21. They would make, you know, because all the kids are up there smoking dope and partying, and that you used to have to pay to go to the bathroom at White Castle on Lindbergh and 21.
That's amazing. That's a great St. Louis memory.
Smoking dope.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what was you like the food over there though? Didn't you?
Oh my God! The biggest thing I learned in Rome was to use olive oil instead of butter, and I never realized how good olive oil. Mm-hmm. I did it this morning. I took my Dave's whole wheat bread and toasted it and cut it in half and just poured a little bit of oil and vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it cuts down on that cholesterol. But, yeah, the food in Italy is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, their caprese and the bruschetta, just something clean about it all.
It really is. You know, one of my favorite things to do, and you probably did this, I saw some pictures, but France is great for this, Italy too. Just sit on a, you know, outside on a cafe and people watch.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
It was crazy how much fun it was to get up in the morning, have breakfast, and then just walk your butt off. I mean, we were walking 8 miles a day, but then around 2 o'clock, we would stop, and you know already what I'm saying. You would just we got these Americanos. They were a watered down, bigger coffee because the espresso is 100% caffeine and like a couple sips and it's over, you know. But we would get some type of pastry and a coffee and sit there for 35 minutes and then say, okay, you ready to go again? You know, start walking again, you know.
It's a lot of fun. Hey, did you engage in any conversation about U.S. politics with Italians or Germans?
100%. It was amazing. I got to give me a minute to tell you this story.
Well, I want to hear it.
So we're coming out of St. Peter's Basilica, right? I mean, the home of Roman Catholic. I mean, this is big. So it's late at night. The sun's going down. It's around 7 o'clock and we're leaving St. Peter. Well, we're still in Vatican City. So I'm like, I'm ready for another coffee and a cannoli, whatever. And I got on my phone and this is when Trump, cause see there's 7-8 hour difference. So this exact moment Trump is being sworn into office, to be the president. So I got my phone on and I'm on X and boom, C-SPAN's beautiful, clear as get out. All of a sudden, before I know it, all these Italian waiters started gathering around me. Four, four of them. And the whole restaurant started gathering around my phone. Now, this is accurate, no exaggeration.
Oh, wow.
And the one thing I remember them looking at me saying was that we used to not like Trump, but we really like Trump now. Huh. And so everybody in Italy really likes Trump is, you know, what was my experience.
That's interesting. Well, I believe that. There has been an evolution over there as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That's kind of a cool story. I'm interested to hear that.
Did you miss all the snow and ice and all that stuff, or did you get some of that before you left?
Oh, I got it all. You know, and then I ended up leaving here. I flew up to Chicago. I got there about 1 on that Friday, I think. And then, you know, we got on British Airways and we flew on over. But no, I experienced all the snow, all the ice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but I got to say this, okay? Forgetting about my Europe trip just for a minute. It is so much fun right now.
Oh my God.
Because the Republicans are just kicking their butts. And that Maxine Waters, she's like a cartoon character. She looks at that guy. She goes, "Well, look at you. Let's look at him, everybody. He look at him. He won't let us in." And it was hilarious.
Are you on top of the Musk name change today on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, wait. Hang on here for people. This is glorious. I've played it once, but it will repeat every hour.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls.
Can you believe that?
He changed it back now, but it was up there for a good portion of the day. And the trolling that he's doing with the CNN types, their heads are exploding, dude. You know this, Kenny.
Oh, and for the smartest man in the world, it like Trump says, he's a gift. And all he's doing is going in there and going, "Oh, man, look at all this stuff." And he's out before they even, you know, can say anything. It's like, you can't stop paying the people. It's like, okay, well, Trump goes, "I'll make an executive order for, you know, him to go check everybody out." And it amazes me. It amazes me to no end that people are so stupid. I mean, some of these Democrats, they can't see the forest for the woods.
Oh, they're lost. They're broken now. They really are, especially the media members. They don't know how to handle this.
Trump's doing so much. It's like whatever subject they're on, Trump's on to another subject 2 hours later.
It's dizzying. It really is. It is dizzying, and it is a lot of fun. I said this to a couple people today. I mean, if the first 3 weeks are this much fun, I can't even imagine what the next 4 years are going to be like. Kenny, I'm going to play some of the audio with Elon and President Trump from the Oval Office here in a minute, but I'm glad to catch up, and it's awesome to hear about your European tour. It should be a movie. It should be a documentary, Kenny Wallace's European tour. We love you.
I love you, Sue.
Love ya.
See ya, Kenny. We'll talk soon.
Bye, gang.
Sean Spicer after Fox News. He's got a really interesting story about an executive order that Will Sharpton, the president, made related to something that happened to him in college. I saw a tweet, and I'll have Sean share the story. So Elon Musk was with President Trump in the Oval Office, and they were taking questions. We missed some of this. My instinct earlier in the show was to go live, and I think it was a good decision. But some of it we didn't hear, so I wanted to share a little bit of that right now.
Your detractors, Mr. Musk. Including a lot of Democrats.
I have detractors?
You do, sir.
I don't believe it.
Say that you're orchestrating a hostile takeover of government and doing it in a non-transparent way. What's your response to that criticism?
All right, so he answers.
You couldn't ask for a stronger mandate from the public. The public voted... we have a majority of the public voting for President Trump. We won the House. We won the Senate. The people voted for major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for. And a lot of times, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
So I mentioned his son was there in the room with him.
Come here, Ruffin.
X, are you okay? This is X. And he's a great guy, high IQ.
He's a high IQ individual.
And he's got this, cool chain he's got.
He was looking pretty good. I guess his name is X. He's got like 30 kids, doesn't he?
Yeah, 11.
Something along those lines. So, but I'm going to go back to Doge and his goal. What's the goal here?
You couldn't ask for a stronger man.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Here it is.
Yeah, at a high level, if you say, what is the goal of Doge, or I think a significant part of the presidency is to restore democracy. This may seem like, well, aren't we in a democracy? Well, if you don't have a feedback loop, FKX, if you sorry.
That was pretty funny. X was kind of doing a little chirping there, right?
I tell you, gravitas can be difficult sometimes. if there's not a good feedback loop from the people to the government, and if you have rule of the bureaucrat, if the bureaucracy is in charge, and then what meaning does democracy actually have? If the people cannot vote and have their will be decided by their elected representatives in the form of the president and the Senate and the House, then we don't live in a democracy. We live in a bureaucracy.
Well, that's kind of what we've been living in for years. Now, one of the things, and I haven't gotten into this a lot, but here's what I would say, and just as a cautionary tale, some of the stuff that's coming out and people share things and memes is not accurate. All right. There's been even this whole thing with Politico, I think, was jumbled up a little bit. I mean, you can certainly question the Politico Pro subscriptions. They spent a lot of money on that. But he cleared something up about the condoms that were supposed to go, or that allegedly went to Gaza. So he was asked about that here today.
Mr. Musk, you said on X that an example of the fraud that you have cited was $50 million of condoms was sent to Gaza. But after fact check this, it apparently Gaza in Mozambique, and the program was to protect them against HIV. So can you correct the statements? It wasn't sent to Hamas, actually. It was sent to Mozambique, which makes sense why condoms were sent there.
Yeah.
And how can we make sure that all the statements you said were correct, so we can trust what you say?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Look, you know, I'm all for getting the facts right, because there was interesting reporting about Gaza. But in Africa, we spend a ton of money to prevent people from getting AIDS, because we want to help the rest of the planet. And Elon says,
some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000. I mean, we will make mistakes, but we'll act quickly to correct any mistakes. I'm not sure we should be sending $50 million worth of condoms to anywhere, frankly. I'm not sure that's something Americans would be really excited about. And that is really an enormous number of condoms, if you think about it. But if it went to Mozambique instead of Gaza, I'm like, okay, that's not as bad, but still, why are we doing that?
Yeah, I think that's the question. Yeah. That is the issue, and they're going to address some of this stuff. Sean Spicer coming up, Jason Rantz from Seattle in the next hour, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.